Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Budiwa Gavaza, and for today, we are, you know, talking about, the journey of one of South Africa's, I'm going to call them a foremost startup because they are often referenced, in the South African context for their innovation. That is the team from Sweep South. And we're just going to be getting a sense of where they are in their journey. But more importantly, the new phase that they're in, succession and those types of conversations, the growth, over the years, because I do believe that there are milestones that they are celebrating in terms of time, but we're going to allow Aisha and Lerandi to give us a sense of what's going on that front. So joining me is Aisha Pando, who is the founder of Sweep South, together with Lerandi Creel, who is now the CEO of Sweep South, and we're going to be having a great conversation. Ladies, greetings to you today.
Hi, Mudira. Thanks for having us.
Morning.
So, where I want to start this, Aisha, is that usually we talk about, we usually ask people to give us the elevator pitch on their business, right? But I think most people have a sense of Sweep South, what it is, the ability to get, certain services, on demand. There was a point at which we had a 30,000 number on the number of people that had been registered. I'm not sure where we are, in terms of that. What I wanted to get your sense on is when we first started covering Sweep South, it was an ability for, someone wants to clean their house, and they want, someone to come in on demand. But over the years, we saw you getting into some acquisitions, to add on a number of services, beautician, that type of thing. Where are we, now in terms of the services offered by Sweep South?
The landscape of our services. So I'll never pass up the opportunity to give a very quick elevator pitch for anyone who hasn't heard of us. So just to say that, Sweep South is an online platform that connects homeowners, people who work in offices and other businesses with services that make their lives easier and do it in a feel-good way. The analogy that we often use is it's technology that connects in the same way as Uber and home sharing services like Airbnb do. So we connect two sides of a marketplace, and we do it in a way that is impactful and really mindful of creating a positive impact on the domestic work industry, the employment industry within South Africa and within the other markets that we operate in. And so you threw out some numbers there just in terms of our landscape today and our reach today. So we operate in numerous cities throughout South Africa. We, 3 years ago now, acquired a business called Fulkhedma, which was Sweep South's equivalent in Egypt. It's been really exciting to navigate that market. I think we're probably one of the first South African to North African acquisitions on the continent. So that was really exciting, and some real lessons around acquiring a business in a different country, with different cultural language implications. So, really looking forward to talking about that a bit more. And then from a scale impact, we have, so you said, I think it was 30,000. We've helped over 50,000 primarily women access work opportunities over the last 10 years, which is a big milestone that we reached last month. So June 2024, we're a 10-year-old company. And we think of impact as not just the women who work on the platform, but, their children, their communities, and what being able to earn does for the broader ecosystem as well.
All right. And I'm glad that, we're talking about it from an ecosystem point of view. I do have one or two curiosities, just now, but we do need to address I'm just going to call it an elephant, you know, and that's the fact that, you know, we've got Lerandi on the call, you know, who's now CEO. Succession is always a huge thing, you know, even large corporates sometimes get, you know, this thing wrong. And in the startup environment, we often see founders staying at the helm for decades, right? And, you know, because it's your baby and you've been at it for the decade, like you said, maybe you could just talk us through the ability to bring on, you know, someone to take over as CEO, you know, for your baby.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's an interesting thing because I get this a lot, that people are surprised that, you know, that this happened, this sort of the succession, this transition. And I think some founders are great at, you know, building companies over multiple decades. And I think other founders prefer the sort of earlier stages where it's a lot of sort of getting things started, the zero to one. There's a lot of innovation. And Sweep South is a very operational business. We collect a lot of data that we use in ways that enhances the way that the platform works. A lot of what we do today is absolutely about innovation, but also about systems and processes and positioning the business for even bigger scale. And I think, you know, just got to a point where personally I realized that the business would really be helped by having leadership on board that could navigate this kind of growth phase, this new phase that the business is in, you know, positioning ourselves for kind of scale at an even bigger level. So it was a decision that was a good few years in the making. I think what often happens with founders is like you realize it and then there's a lot of sort of stewing over it. And it's not, as you say, it's your baby. It's not an easy decision to make. But absolutely in meeting Lerandi and sort of, you know, engaging around the business and what was important to us and the vision, found someone who was just, I think, a great complement to myself, embodied a lot of those things, you know, around what the business needs at this stage. And I think, you know, between myself, Alan, my co-founder, Lerandi, Luke, who was employee number one and is still a big part of the company and part of the executive team, I think, you know, form a really great team that I'm, you know, I'm really excited about the way that we're going to work together in over the next 10 years of Sweep South's growth.
Yeah, and it's certainly what you call this. It's certainly a celebration because there are a lot of barriers that you've probably broken through. We often talk about the first 1 to 3 years within which a lot of startups fail. We often talk about, you know, not securing funding. We often talk about not finding the right market fit, not scaling, all of these things that you've been able to break through and, you know, reaching a point where you can actually start to say, okay, fine, you know, we need to grow the leadership team. We need to you know, maybe get Sweep South, change gears a bit, you know, and go to the next phase of growth. You know, that's always great from that point of view. So maybe then I can bring Lerandi in here. One of the reasons why I asked Aisha to sort of give a sense of what Sweep South looks like right now is that I was in India last year and I got an opportunity to visit a very interesting business called Urban Company, right? And Urban Company, I just couldn't help but to draw, you know, the parallels, you know, between Sweep South and Urban Company. Because this is audio, people aren't seeing that there are nods coming, you know, from from our panel. So at least I know that I was headed in the right direction in my thinking, because I think Urban Company has 25, if I remember, at the time that we visited them, they had about 25 sets of, you know, professional and artisanal skills that were available on their platform. And that acquisition that you made a couple of years ago as Sweep South, you know, sort of added the number of layers in terms of the services there. Maybe you could give us a sense, you know, Lerandi, how, in terms of a spectrum, you know, from the ability to get someone to clean and then, I guess, on the other side, you know, masseuses and, you know, fridge mechanics and, you know, all of that type of thing. Where are we in our journey? You know, how many services do you guys offer on the app? And as you are taking on the role and pushing the company forward, are you able to give us a sense, you know, of, I guess, what you want the platform to look like from, I guess, a number of services or the types of services that are on the platform from an expansion point of view?
Yes, I can, Madiwa. Yeah, we have internally, we also look at Urban Company. We benchmark ourselves against global players. Just we don't have a Uber or Amazon-sized home service platform yet. So we are aspiring to be that. So currently, we have the home cleaning services, pool cleaning, gardening, handyman maintenance services, that's available in South Africa, and then going over to Egypt, that goes into beauticians coming to your home, masseuses. They're stronger on the business to business side as well, servicing maintenance of entire companies. Big market for us in Egypt is air conditioning services. Mm-hmm. And then more on the global landscape, we want to do more inside the home that makes life easier for the homeowner and the people and the pets in it. So pet sitting, pet care services, babysitting, and then also expanding from an offering from home services into more businesses, taking care of smaller businesses that cannot afford, for example, a bid desk type service, and just making people's lives easier and giving them time back for what they care about, so we can take care of literally everything in and outside of the home. So those on the roadmap.
And maybe you could talk to us about, you know, when it comes to market fit, right? One of my learnings, at least from being in that part of the world, was just understanding that a lot of the services that you've just spoken about, they say that region, you know, what people consider the Middle East and Southeast Asia, that's where you could probably offer so many of those services. For South Africa, is, you know, do all of those things, is there a market, you know, for all of those services, or are they just certain things that are better suited to maybe one part of the world versus what we have in South Africa? Laurent, I'll start with you here, but I'm also keen to get Aisha's thoughts.
Yes, I think, Madiwa, I've worked with other globalized businesses. I'll take an example like Ocean Basket, that where you, as a business, you need to look at what fits that market. For Khidma, for example, in Egypt, being a very, very hot climate and country, you know, air conditioning services are our top seller. Whereas in South Africa, in this region, that it's not, the demand's not that high. I think from a business expansion point of view, you need to, it's not a one size fits all, because you have to take the geography into the account, the climate, the type of homeowner, the type of business, also going into things like short-term rentals, you know, your Airbnb market. These are all different in different geographies, and the needs are different. Our core service is our magic potion is our platform that's able to scale and adapt and adjust for all these verticals. But it's then the positioning of the market that definitely needs to be considered. And then it's also the type of services that country can offer and the type of labor that's available. You know, there's a big disparity between domestic work and worker pay in South Africa. I've lived in Singapore versus, for example, Singapore. There's a big difference in the type of expectation of services versus what consumers are willing to pay. So as a business, we need to take all of that into account when we expand into these markets.
Mm-hmm. Aisha, you know, your thoughts, you know, around this, because when you initially made the jump into a market like Egypt, you know, those of us that at the time were, you know, uninitiated were like, what is going on here? But I guess, you know, that's the beauty of exposure, right? Understanding some of the idiosyncrasies between different markets. So, yeah, maybe you could just talk to us about that evolution and the market fit.
Yeah, I think so. So maybe also just to jump onto something really important that Lerandi mentioned is the way that we have built and more recently focused on our technology, being able to, you know, being modular and being able to sort of fit in a plug and play way these services depending on market has been really important. And that takes us back to the question about Egypt and being able to say this is a big market. It's underserved. It is a market where, you know, Cairo just in itself is a 10 million person city, Greater Cairo, 20 million people. So these are huge markets, increasing numbers of digital adoption, smartphone adoption across the board. But again, you know, very underserved, very high levels of fragmentation amongst these sorts of services. And those are the types of markets that make a potentially attractive market for us to go into. And so sometimes things happen kind of organically with Fulkhedma. I had some really great conversations with the founder there, Omar Ramadan. This sort of founder-to-founder commiserating, you know, over COVID chats became evolved into an acquisition conversation. But in other markets, we look kind of more commercially at a market initially and say, you know, is this a market that can sustain our growth plans and our growth strategy? So, you know, there are various reasons for us to enter into a market, but really some of the things that we look into are the size of the market, digital adoption. Do you have this kind of mismatch between labor and people who are looking for work opportunities and the ability on the demand side to take up those opportunities? And then this fragmentation where if you look at a home and you look at all of the services within and outside of that home that SweepSouth could potentially provide, is there an opportunity to consolidate that under one platform?
And when you're looking at a market like that, I think the numbers that you're talking about, those are massive numbers. You know, 10 million, up to 20 million people, you know, within, I guess, what in South Africa people might consider to be a metro, to have that many, a market that big. And I guess the expectation that you get from, some of the cities, like what Lerandi was talking about, to say that you have different expectations, you know, from your service companies, climate comes into the conversation and all that. When you're now thinking about this next phase, of SweepSouth, your role, are you strategizing on how to organically grow the business? Are you looking at, I guess, further acquisitions? How does a business like SweepSouth, I guess, continue to grow? Is it the expansion of services, let's say, inner South Africa? Is it the acquisition of certain of companies in different regions so that you enter those territories? And also at the same time, is there a limit? I know that we always say, the sky is the limit, but is there a limit to, you know, what a platform like this can do?
I think so. I mean, Lerandi, as our incoming CEO, is well positioned, I think, to talk about, you know, the future and strategy and opportunities. But I think the one thing that I will say is a lesson that I had to learn over the last 10 years was around patience and around how to build a business in a way that it has staying power. So 10 years in startup land feels like a long time to be around. And after 10 years, a lot of your peers haven't made it to that anniversary with you. And that's just the reality of the startup world. But outside of, you know, quote unquote, tech startups, lasting businesses are built over multiple decades. And so this sort of reframing that we're building something for the marathon and not the sprint has been really important to us. And so the questions around how we expand always have to be balanced with focus and doing what you do and what is your core well before moving on to something else. And that's something that, you know, Lerandi has reiterated multiple times coming into the company, is kind of, you know, nail the thing that you, your core business first, and then start thinking about other things. And yeah, as she said, you know, the home services space, there isn't an Uber sized or Amazon sized international player in home services yet. So, you know, yes, the sky is the limit, but focus is important. But I know, you know, Lerandi will also definitely have views and opinions about, you know, about where we're going to go going forward in terms of growth strategy.
Lerandi?
Yeah, I think I have to, your first part of your question was about, you know, Aisha and strategizing. We do work well together and we do strategize together and thinking around the business, because it's very important to keep the visionary, the inspiring story in this business and to remain at heart a business that makes impact for the workers and on the client side, a little bit, their lives a little bit easier. So in terms of expansion, nailing the core of any business, like Aisha said, your peers don't make it with you. In South Africa, the startup stats are just under 30% of startups make it to 10 years. So sustainability is a very big thing. So in South Africa, we need to nail our core. And a lot of companies, when they grow too quickly or they grow fast, they forget about the quality of service they came into being, and the customers they acquired through having that really quality good service. So in South Africa, that's something we are focusing on, and then obviously expanding into natural verticals in and around the home, where we are trusted and known for. And then we are looking at expanding into other markets, not necessarily emerging markets, but maybe more mature, economically developed markets. It's good for a South African business to have a little bit of a rand hedge so that we can grow stronger, but certainly focus on one market, conquer that market, be very established. And get to be known and trusted like we are in South Africa, and then go on to other markets. And also the quality of our service, the way in which we serve customers, the way in which we make impact helps us to organically grow into other markets. Mm-hmm. We also, you were talking about acquisitions, like all the time we have open lines to other similar platforms to ours in other area, in other countries, Africa, America, Canada. There's a few players that we continuously are talking to on a weekly basis. And I think in the spirit of how Aisha and I have to say Aisha and Alan has built this business very much in a spirit of collaboration with other entrepreneurial businesses. And we are not... you know, a lot of founders or startups or entrepreneurs are scared to share what they know and, you know, their insights with other entrepreneurs. And this business is not, you know, we share very openly. But also while we share and we help other businesses like ours expand in other geographies, we continuously talking about fits and, you know, if it makes sense and there's synergies, certainly we will make a definitive move.
Very quickly, you know, just as a quick follow-up to that, someone who, when we talk about Sweep South, we keep talking, we've focused quite a bit about South Africa and obviously Egypt through the discussion. Are you guys available anywhere else in terms of your geographical spread, Lerandi?
Not at the moment. I don't know, yeah.
Yeah, so we had a stint in Kenya, stint in Nigeria, and I think, you know, and I think as Lerandi said, it's important to be, you know, as being part of this ecosystem, to be candid and open about the struggles of you know, different markets and building and scaling a startup. And so, you know, I think market fit and markets that have great growth opportunities are really important for us. Currency hedging, ticket size and basket size are all going to be important elements of our future growth strategy.
Yeah, that's the reason why I asked that, because I was aware of those stints. So we just had to get an update, of what's going on there. The other thing that's also big in the startup space, and I'm sure Sweepsouth has had a lot of experience in this, of course, is fundraising. We've seen the fundraising landscape evolve, quite a bit. Some of the check sizes that are being written now, I don't think people would have even dreamed about them, at the time that you guys, started. What's been the funding journey like right now? And I'm sure this is a question you get all the time. Are you guys raising at the moment?
The funding journey has been interesting. I think fundraising is, for a growth stage company, it's necessary and it's something that you do. I never see it as a means unto itself. It's something that you do in order to be able to grow and to scale. We've been fortunate to have incredible investors who we brought on board over this 10-year journey, starting from Vinnie Lingham, who was our very first check into the company, has been a brilliant entrepreneur in his own right, a mentor in us, for us, particularly in the early days, and has become a great friend to Pule Tokobong from CREVC, who was also early stage African and South African tech investor, Paulo Liteka, who was investing in our third check in and invested in our most recent round. So we've been really fortunate. Naspers, Smolin, the Dal Foundation. We've really fortunately had a good experience with the investors that we brought on board. But fundraising is tough, and it's cyclical. And there was sort of a lot of hubris during the pandemic, and followed by a pullback. And it's been tough for a lot of companies to raise. And so I think what we've done is focus on the fundamentals. Sweepsouth is not we're not a sexy business that sort of jumps onto trends. We're a business that solves real problems. In terms of what customers need and real problems in terms of the impact that we have on the lives of people who work through the platform. And so we've really, focused on that. We have focused on unit economics, which I think is incredibly important for a business of our age and this type of business, marketplace platforms. So profitability and profitable growth is a big focus area for us at the moment. And you asked if we're raising. Yeah, absolutely. We are. We're interested in going out to market soon, and so we'll be wanting to engage with a new batch of investors. And so really looking forward to kind of the engaging with some great investors who we'd like to bring onto the cap table to sort of be part of the journey for our next phase of growth, and as we look at sort of new verticals, new services, new markets.
For people that follow the A, B, C, and D's of funding, what what series would this be?
So we had a Series B2 round, which was our last funding round that we closed in 2022. So we closed it in sort of the first half of 2022. These names are always funny because pre-seed is now a new term that didn't exist a few years ago, so they don't mean much, but our last round was a B2.
All right, cool. So Lerandi, on that, when it comes to, we've spoken about the funding piece, but now the operations piece, huge pressure on businesses right now, especially those that are in the market for especially private capital. There's huge pressure to show robust business models, especially profits, especially in this environment where you no longer have the same patient capital that you had a couple of years ago. High interest rates and all that means that even in places like the US, where we've been throwing a lot of money, at tech-backed businesses, there's been a bit of a pullback in that front. Could you talk to us just around profitability, whatever you can share with us on that front?
Yes, sure. Agree with you. Huge pressure on businesses to raise capital. Just, I think globally, businesses are under pressure to perform and grow at these crazy multiples that we saw businesses grow pre-COVID. That is not very general right now. So at Sweep South, we are really focused. I think Ash alluded to it earlier. Narrowed our focus to ensure that we remain like a profitable business. So interrogating our business unit economics, our cost of acquisition, ensuring that doesn't go out of kilter on the as an entrepreneurial business. And I think companies that raise capital, and Asha alluded to it earlier, Sweep South has been very blessed with great great investors, good rounds. And often you can lose track of your spend, and not only because you raise for investment and growth, but when these capital rounds come into the business, you can't lose sight of, I need to make every cent work, because now you have the money in the bank, so you relax a little bit. But we are very focused on ensuring that we remain capital efficient and deploy capital in the places that that will unlock growth. So very tight on the expense side. We don't have any wasteful expenditure in the business. We interrogate every rand of capital we deploy. So and to remain profitable, that is our. If you want to know, like the BHAG on our strategy, it is to be sustainable, net profitable for the longest term. Sustainable profitability is the key, because it's easy to become profitable for 1 month or 2 months just by cutting costs, but then you tend to spread yourself so thinly that the business cannot operate. So it's that balance between growth and profitability that we do every day. It's hard, it's not easy, but that's kind of how the team is geared, and we pull together to make that happen. If all the levers fall in place, we will remain profitable.
All right. So I guess it does sound, at least from what I'm understanding, that you guys are operating in the black, which is a good thing. But the other curiosity on my side, when we talk about tech-backed businesses, we often talk about how much cash burn there is, in the tech stack. But outside of the tech, right, What are some of the big line items for Sweep South? Is it the training? Is it staff acquisition costs? Is it marketing? Like, from an operations point of view, Lerandi, what's actually driving, the expense portion, of the income of your balance sheet?
Of my income statement?
Of your income statement. Yeah.
And so, sorry. On the income statement side, our biggest cost is our staff. I've been in a few tech companies, and I often hear people reaching out to me, oh, I'm starting a platform business, or we're starting this tech company. And in the back of my mind, I think, I'm not sure if you're aware of how much it costs to maintain a tech business. It's not only building the platform. It's great to build the platform in the early days, the founders or maybe engineers, and they build it themselves. But to maintain a platform of this scale, you need some seriously good software engineers, and they're not cheap. they're expensive, and we are competing globally for this skill set. So, currently we are recruiting for more software engineers for these growth verticals that we want to expand to from a tech perspective. And all the guys we're interviewing, South Africans, are earning dollars. So they are in dollar terms expensive. We compete globally. So the devaluation of the rand doesn't help us. So that's the biggest expense line item. And then the second one would be marketing. Brand awareness and marketing is it's a big operational expense to keep top of mind for the consumer. And it's more than just the customer marketing. For us, it's internal marketing. Aisha said earlier that we serve two sides of the marketplace. So we serve the customer. So it's the brand, customer marketing, cost of acquisition type marketing. On the other side, our other customers are also the sweep stars that is onboarded onto our platform. We also market to them, making sure that they are, you know, aware of what they need to be aware of, that they are of the quality. We don't employ them. They are, it's flexible work, but we do need to market and communicate to them on a continuous basis. And then obviously we have some internal marketing for our own employees. I think your own employees are your best brand ambassadors. So those two expenses, the employee staff cost, just because we have highly skilled people that work on and maintain our platform and the business in operational terms. This is a platform business, but it has a big service element. So we need to have sufficient, well-trained internal staff that can serve both the customers and the sweep stars on a 24/7 basis.
All right. Yeah, it's actually quite cool just to hear some of the what actually drives a business like SweepSoft, and especially understanding, especially as a business that is servicing both sides of the market, you know, the consumer and the businesses and the business people themselves that are registered on your platform. So, you know, great to understand that. The marketing aspect. Yeah, that's actually pretty cool. And especially if you're able to get, because I think the real win after this is the fact that a lot of the time people worry about disintermediation. I get someone on the platform and, you know, I develop my own relationship. Why do I still need the platform? But it's the fact that you guys have been able to find a model where even that is not a threat. You know, I think there's appreciation that needs to be, you know, given, you know, on that front. Where I went to land this conversation, Aisha, you are one of the founders in South Africa that has decided to emigrate. How has that changed or shaped your view? Because you are in the hustle and bustle of the biggest startup, you know, culture in the world. Has it changed anything, or were you always just aware that there was a different game that was happening overseas?
Yeah, so when you say the word emigrated, like it hits hard. It feels so final. But you know, I think it's important to experience and live in other markets if you are able to, and widen your worldview. So that's the one thing that I will say. And then the other thing is, we've been spending time in San Francisco pretty consistently since 2015, when we were part of the 500 Startup Accelerator program. And one of the things that is just unfailingly incredible about being in this market is the spirit of building and the spirit of can do. And I think that was shaken a little bit around the pandemic, and there were big questions about, you know, San Francisco and issues within the inner city, and it's the sort of energy has been revived a lot around conversations that have to do with the benefits of AI and use of AI. And so it's one of the best things just about being here is that energy, the focus on possibility and what can be done rather than challenges and why things won't work. And the energy is infectious, and it's been awesome taking that energy and back and, in, you know, infusing it into relationships, conversations with, everyone from, you know, the Sweep South team to some of the ventures that, you know, myself and Alan are currently working on, founders that we speak to who ask us for sort of advice and mentorship. So, I think it's just great as a builder and someone who loves building, which is really, I was talking to one of our first, I mentioned Pule was one of our first Sweep South investors earlier today. And I was saying, I just love building. I just love to build. And so being in an environment where everyone is like that is incredibly energizing.
All right. You know, when you talk to entrepreneurs, they get bitten by the, what you call this, bitten by the bug. You know, you start one thing, you want to start another, you want to start another, you want to start another. Maybe just as a last word and as a quick follow-up is, are you, because you say you're a builder, are you more concerned with building maybe another property of your own or perhaps helping other people to build on their own from maybe a VC or investor side?
Both, you know, and I think... I've throughout us building Sweep South, I've loved, you know, as Lurandi said, we love being part of the broader ecosystem. I think it's incredibly powerful where you share your learnings and other people do the same. And so I'm a partner, a founding partner of E4E Africa, which is a venture capital fund where we invest in, and we're in the process of raising a second fund. We invest in underrepresented founders in South Africa. We've got a few companies that we've invested in Kenya as well, who are building tech-enabled solutions to, you know, really socially relevant challenges. So really proud of the work that we're doing there. And then my background is in human genetics. I've always been interested in the biotech and health tech space. So in terms of my own venture, I'm working on a really exciting project in the chronic women's health space around software, AI-enabled software to help women better manage chronic health conditions and to use the data that's collected in a meaningful way. Scientists at heart, always interested in, you know, how to use data to better people. Applying it to the health tech space at the moment as well.
All right. So that's where we land today's conversation. It has been a really great one, just getting a sense of what's going on in the universe, you know, of Sweep South. And I call it a universe because, you know, once upon a time, we thought about it in fixed terms around cleaning. But right now, we now think about it, you know, on a spectrum of, you know, different services that, you know, that people can get. I think, you know, some of the things that we were talking about is the different market fits, you know, the fact that this is a company that started 10 years ago, you know, in South Africa around cleaning, but now has evolved, you know, to a point where a person, you know, on the same application, you know, it works both in South Africa and in Egypt. There have been stints in Kenya and in Nigeria. But, you know, one of the things that Aisha speaks about is the fact that we do need to be honest about what's going on, you know, in the startup ecosystem. You have to be willing to try certain things, accept when some things don't work. And as Lurandi says, focus on your core business. You know, what do you do well, you know, and how do you expand, you know, from that particular base. Also great to understand the transition that's happened in terms of leadership and the fact that you do have, you know, founders that are, you know, willing to let go so that they can take the business to the other level and make sure that you have you know, operations that are solid and you make sure that you are in as sustainable a place as possible. And it was also good to understand, you know, the difference between the organic operations of the business and some of the thoughts, you know, around some of the potential, you know, acquisitions or inorganic growth opportunities that do exist. And the fact that, you know, for a business like Sweep South, it does seem as if, you know, having an international ecosystem is probably going to serve them the best, you know, so that they serve and play, you know, in different regions. And for now, you know, Egypt has been in, you know, that particular area. So that's been it, you know, really been great. We're talking to Larandi Creel, who is the CEO of Sleep South, together with Aisha Pando, who is the founder. Aisha, Larandi, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Madiwa. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Thanks, Madiwa. Same here. Thank you.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So from myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.